I turn and toss in the 3 poker chips. Atlas's phone rings and he pulls it out of his pocket. I'm raising the pot with another chip when he excuses himself from the table to take the call.
Fold,
Brad says, slapping his cards on the table. I'm watching the hallway Atlas just disappeared down in a hurry. It makes me wonder if he's talking to Cassie or if there's someone else in his life. I know what he does for a living. I know he has at least 3 friends. I just know nothing about his love life. Darren lays his cards on the table, 4 of a kind. I lay down my straight flush and reach forward for all the poker chips as Darren groans. So does Cassie not usually come to poker night? I ask, fishing for more information on Atlas. Information I'm too scared to ask him myself.
Cassie?
Brad says. I stack my winnings up in front of me and nod. Isn't that his girlfriend's name? Darren laughs.
Atlas doesn't have a girlfriend. I've known him for 2 years, and he's never mentioned anyone named Cassie.
He begins passing out new cards, but I'm trying to absorb the information he just gave me. I pick up my first 2 cards when Atlas walks back into the room.
Hey, Atlas,
Jimmy says.
Who the hell is Cassie, and how come we've never heard you talk about her?
Oh, shit. I'm completely mortified. I tighten my grip around the cards in my hands and try to avoid looking up at Atlas, but the room grows so quiet it would be more obvious if I didn't look at him. He's staring at Jimmy. Jimmy is staring at him. Brad and Darren are staring at me. Atlas folds his lips together for a moment and then says,
"There is no Cassie."
His eyes meet mine, but only for a brief second. But in that brief second, I can see it written all over his face. There never was a Cassie. He lied to me. Atlas clears his throat and then says,
"Listen, guys, I should have canceled tonight. This week has been kind of..."
He rubs his hand over his mouth and Jimmy stands up. He squeezes Atlas on the shoulder and says,
"Next week. My place."
Atlas nods appreciatively. The 3 of them begin to gather their cards and poker chips. Brad pries my cards from my fingers apologetically because I'm unable to move as I clutch them tightly.
"It was lovely to meet you, Lily," Brad says.
I somehow find the strength to smile and stand up. I give them all hugs goodbye, and after the front door closes behind them, it's just me and Atlas in the room. And no Cassie. Cassie's never even been in this room because Cassie doesn't exist. What the hell? Atlas hasn't moved from his spot near the table. Neither have I. He's standing firm with his arms folded across his chest. His head is slightly tilted down, but his eyes are boring into me from across the table. Why would he lie to me? Ryle and I weren't even an official couple yet when I ran into Atlas at that restaurant the first time. Hell, if Atlas had given me any reason to believe there was a chance between us that night, I know without a doubt that I would have chosen him over Ryle. I barely even knew Ryle at that point. But Atlas didn't say anything. He lied to me and told me he'd been in a relationship for an entire year. Why? Why would he do that unless he didn't want me to think I had a chance with him? Maybe I've been wrong all this time. Maybe he never even loved me to begin with, and he knew that inventing this Cassie person would keep me away from him for good. Yet, here I am, crashing at his house, interacting with his friends, eating his food, using his shower. I can feel the tears begin to sting my eyes, and the last thing I want is to stand in front of him and cry right now. I walk around the table and rush past him. I don't make it far when he grabs my hand.
"Wait."
I stop, still facing the other direction.
"Talk to me, Lily."
He's right behind me now, his hand still wrapped around mine. I pull it away from him and walk to the other side of the living room.
I spin and face him just as the first tear rolls down my cheek. Why did you never come back for me? He looked prepared for anything to come out of my mouth other than the words I just spoke to him. He runs a hand through his hair and walks to the couch, taking a seat. After blowing out a calming breath, he carefully looks over at me.
I did, Lily.
I don't allow air to move in or out of my lungs. I stand completely still, processing his answer. He came back for me? He folds his hands together in front of him.
When I got out of the Marines the first time, I went back to Maine, hoping to find you. I asked around and found out which college you went to. I wasn't sure what to expect when I showed up, because we were two different people by then. It had been 4 years since we saw each other. I knew a lot about both of us had probably changed in those 4 years.
My knees feel weak, so I walk to the chair next to him and lower myself. He came back for me?
I walked around your campus the whole day looking for you. Finally, late that afternoon, I saw you. You were sitting in the courtyard with a group of your friends. I watched you for a long time, trying to work up the courage to walk over to you. You were laughing. You looked happy. You were vibrant, like I'd never seen you before. I had never felt that kind of happiness for another person like I felt when I saw you that day. Just knowing you were okay.
He pauses for a moment. My hands are clenched around my stomach because it hurts. It hurts knowing I was so close to him, and I didn't even know.
I began walking toward you when someone came up behind you. A guy. He dropped to his knees next to you, and when you saw him, you smiled and threw your arms around him. Then you kissed him.
I closed my eyes. He was just a boy I dated for 6 months. He never even made me feel a fraction of what I had felt for Atlas. He blows out a sharp breath.
I left after that, when I saw that you were happy. It was the worst and best feeling a person could ever have at once. But I believed at that point that my life was still not good enough for you. I had nothing to offer you but love, and to me, you deserved more than that. The next day I signed up for another tour in the Marines, and now?
He tosses his hand up lazily in the air, like nothing about his life is impressive. I bury my head in my hands to take a moment. I quietly grieve what could have been. What is? What wasn't? My fingers move to the tattoo on my shoulder. I begin to wonder if I'll ever be able to fill in that hole now. It makes me wonder if Atlas ever feels like I felt when I got this tattoo, like all the air is being let out of his heart. I still don't understand why he lied to me after running into me at his restaurant. If he really felt the things I felt for him, why would he make something like that up? Why did you lie about having a girlfriend? He rubs a hand over his face, and I can already see the regret before I even hear it in his voice.
I said that because you looked happy that night. When I saw you telling him goodbye, it hurt like hell. But at the same time, I was relieved that you seemed to be in a really good place. I didn't want you to worry about me. And I don't know. Maybe I was a little jealous. I don't know, Lily. I regretted lying to you as soon as I did it.
My hand goes to my mouth. My mind starts to race just as fast as my heart is racing. I instantly start thinking about the what-ifs. What if he would have been honest with me? Told me how he'd felt? Where would we be now? I want to ask him why he did it. Why he didn't fight for me. But I don't have to ask him because I already know the answer. He thought he was giving me what I wanted, because all he's ever wanted from me was happiness. And for some stupid reason, he's never felt I could get that with him. Consider it, Atlas.
The more I think about it, the more difficult it becomes to breathe. I think about Atlas, Ryle, tonight, two nights ago. It's too much. I stand up and make my way back to the guest bedroom. I pick up my phone and grab my purse and go back to the living room. Atlas hasn't moved. Ryle left for England today, I say. I think I should probably go home now. Can you drive me? A sadness enters his eyes, and when it does, I know that leaving is the right thing to do. Neither of us has closure. I'm not sure we'll ever get it. I'm beginning to think closure is a myth, and being here right now while I'm still processing everything that's happening to my life is just going to make things worse for me. I have to eliminate as much confusion as possible, and right now, my feelings for Atlas top the list of most confusing. He presses his lips tightly together for a moment, and then he nods and grabs his keys. Neither of us speaks the entire drive to my apartment. He doesn't drop me off. He pulls into the parking lot and gets out of his car.
"I'd feel better if you let me walk you up," he says.
I nod, and we wade through even more silence as we ride the elevator up to the 7th floor. He follows me all the way to my apartment. I fish around in my purse for the keys and don't even realize my hands are shaking until my third failed attempt to open the door. Atlas calmly takes the keys from me, and I step aside as he opens the door for me.
"Do you want me to make sure no one's here?"
he asks. I nod. I know Ryle isn't here because he's on his way to England, but I'm honestly still a little scared to walk into the apartment by myself. Atlas walks in before me and flips on the lights. He continues walking through the apartment, flipping on all the lights and walking into each of the rooms. When he makes it back to the living room, he slides his hands in his jacket pockets. He takes a deep breath and then says,
"I don't know what happens next, Lily."
He does. He knows. He just doesn't want it to happen, because we both know how much it hurts to say goodbye to each other. I look away from him because seeing the look on his face right now cuts straight to my heart. I fold my arms over my chest and stare at the floor. I have a lot to work through, Atlas. A lot. And I'm scared I won't be able to do it with you in my life. I lift my eyes back to his. I hope you don't take offense to that, because if anything, it's a compliment. He regards me silently for a moment, not at all surprised by what I'm saying. But I can see there's so much he wants to say. There's a lot I wish I could say to him, too, but we both know discussing the two of us isn't appropriate at this point. I'm married. I'm pregnant with another man's baby. And he's standing in the living room of an apartment that another man bought for me. I'd say these aren't very good conditions in which to bring up all the things we should have said to each other a long time ago. He looks at the door momentarily as if he's trying to decide to leave or speak. I can see the twitch in his jaw right before he locks eyes with me.
"If you ever need me, I want you to call me," he says. "But only if it's an emergency. I'm not capable of being casual with you, Lily."
I'm taken aback by his words, but only momentarily. As much as I wasn't expecting him to admit it, he's absolutely right. Since the day we met, there has been nothing casual about our relationship. It's either all in or not in at all. That's why he separated ties when he left for the military. He knew that a casual friendship would never work between us. It would have been too painful. Apparently, that hasn't changed. Goodbye, Atlas. Saying those words again tears me up almost as much as the first time I had to say them. He winces and then turns and walks to the door like he can't leave fast enough. When the door closes behind him, I walk over and lock it, then press my head against it. 2 days ago, I was asking myself how my life could possibly get any better. Today, I'm asking myself how it could possibly get any worse. I jump back with a sudden knock at the door. It's only been 10 seconds since he walked out, so I know it's Atlas. I unlock it and open it, and I'm suddenly pressed against something soft. Atlas's arms wrap tightly around me, desperately, and his lips are pressed against the side of my head. I squeeze my eyes shut and finally let the tears fall. I've cried so many tears for Ryle over the past 2 days, I have no idea how I still have any left for Atlas. But I do, because they're falling down my cheeks like rain.
Lily, he whispers, still holding me tightly. I know this is the last thing you need to hear right now, but I have to say it because I've walked away from you too many times without saying what I really want to say.
He pulls back to look down at me, and when he sees my tears, he brings his hands up to my cheeks.
In the future, if by some miracle you ever find yourself in the position to fall in love again, fall in love with me.
He presses his lips against my forehead.
You're still my favorite person, Lily. Always will be.
He releases me and walks away, not even needing a response. When I close the door again, I slide to the floor. My heart feels like it wants to give up. I don't blame it. It suffered through 2 separate heartaches in the course of 2 days. And I have a feeling it's going to be a long time before either of those heartaches can even begin to heal. Chapter 29. Elisa drops onto the couch beside me and Riley.
I miss you so much, Lily, she says. I'm thinking about coming back to work a day or two a week.
I laugh, a little shocked by her comment. I live downstairs and I visit almost every day. How can you possibly miss me? She pouts as she pulls her legs up beneath her.
Fine, it's not you I miss. I miss work. And sometimes I just want out of this house.
It's been 6 weeks since she had Riley, so I'm sure she would be cleared to come back to work. But I honestly didn't think she'd even want to come back now that she has Riley. I bend forward and give Riley a kiss on her nose.
Would you bring Riley with you?
Elisa shakes her head.
No, you keep me too busy for that. Marshall can watch her while I work.
You mean you don't have people for that?
Marshall is passing through the living room when he hears me say that.
Shush, Lily. Don't speak like a rich girl in front of my daughter. Blasphemy.
I laugh. That's why I come over here a few nights a week, because it's the only time I laugh. It's been 6 weeks since Ryle left for England, and no one knows what happened between us. Ryle hasn't told anyone, and neither have I. Everyone, my mother included, believes he simply left for the study at Cambridge and that nothing has changed between us. I also still haven't told anyone about the pregnancy. I've been to the doctor twice. It turns out I was already 12 weeks along the night I found out I was pregnant, which makes me 18 weeks along now. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I've been on the pill since I was 18. Apparently, being forgetful a few times caught up with me. I'm beginning to show, but it's cold out, so it's been easy to hide. No one suspects a thing when you have on a baggy sweater and a jacket. I know I need to tell someone soon, but I feel like Ryle should be the first one I tell, and I don't want to do that over a long-distance phone conversation. He'll be back in 6 weeks. If I can somehow keep things quiet until then, I'll decide where to go from there. I look down at Riley, and she's smiling up at me. I make silly faces at her to make her smile more. There have been so many times I've wanted to tell Elisa about the pregnancy, but it makes it hard when the secret I'm keeping is being kept from her own brother. I don't want to put her in that kind of situation, no matter how much it kills me that I can't talk to her about it. How are you holding up without Ryle? Elisa asks. You're ready for him to come home? I nod, but I don't say anything. I always try to brush off the subject when she brings him up. Elisa leans back into the couch and says, Is he still liking Cambridge? Yes, I say, sticking my tongue out at Riley. She grins. I wonder if my baby will look like her. I hope so. She's really cute, but I might be a little partial. Did he ever figure out the subway system there? Elisa laughs. I swear, every time I talk to him, he's lost. He can't figure out whether to take the A line or the B line. Yeah, I tell her. He figured it out. Elisa sits up on the couch. Marshall! Marshall walks into the living room and Elisa pulls Riley out of my hands. She hands her to Marshall and says, Will you change your diaper? I don't know why she asks him that. I just changed her diaper. Marshall scrunches up his nose and lifts Riley out of Elisa's arms. Are you a stinky girl? They're wearing matching onesies. Elisa grabs my hands and yanks me off the couch so fast I squeal. Where are we going? She doesn't answer me. She marches toward her bedroom and then slams the door once we're both inside. She paces back and forth a few times and then she stops and faces me. You better tell me what the hell is going on right now, Lily. I pull back in shock. What is she talking about? My hands instantly go to my stomach because I think maybe she's noticed, but she doesn't look at my stomach. She takes a step forward and pokes a finger in my chest. There is no subway system in Cambridge, England, you idiot. What? I am so confused. I made that up, she says. Something hasn't been right with you for a long time. You're my best friend, Lily, and I know my brother. I talk to him every week, and he isn't the same. Something happened between you two, and I want to know what it is right now. Shit. I guess this is happening sooner rather than later. I slowly bring my hands up to my mouth, not sure what to tell her, how much to tell her. I had no idea until this moment how much it's been killing me that I haven't been able to talk to her about this. I almost feel a little relieved that she reads me so well. I walk to her bed and take a seat on it. Elisa, I whisper. Sit down. I know this is going to hurt her almost as much as it hurt me. She walks over to her bed and sits down next to me, pulling my hands to hers. I don't even know where to start. She squeezes my hands but says nothing. For the next 15 minutes, I tell her everything. I tell her about the fight. I tell her about Atlas picking me up. I tell her about the hospital. I tell her about the pregnancy. I tell her about how, for the last 6 weeks, I cry myself to sleep every night because I have never felt so alone and so scared. When I'm finished telling her everything, we are both crying. She hasn't responded to what I've told her with anything other than the occasional, Oh, Lily. She doesn't have to respond, though. Ryle is her brother. I know she wants me to take his past into consideration just like the last time it happened. I know she'll want me to work things out with him because he's her brother. We're supposed to be one big, happy family. I know exactly what she's thinking. She's quiet for a long time as she struggles through everything I've told her. She finally lifts her eyes to mine and squeezes my hands. My brother loves you, Lily. He loves you so much. You have changed his entire life and have made him someone that I never thought he could be. As his sister, I wish more than anything that you could find a way to forgive him. But as your best friend, I have to tell you that if you take him back, I will never speak to you again. It takes a moment for her words to register, but when they do, I start sobbing. She starts sobbing. She wraps her arms around me, and we cry over the mutual love we have for Ryle. We cry over how much we hate him right now. After several minutes of us sobbing pathetically on her bed, she releases me and walks over to her dresser to retrieve a box of tissues. We're both wiping our eyes and sniffling when I say, "You're the best friend I've ever had." She nods. "I know. And now I'm going to be the best aunt." She wipes her nose and sniffles again, but she's smiling. "Lily, you're having a baby." She says it with excitement, and it's the first moment I've been able to share any sense of joy over my pregnancy. "I hate to say it, but I noticed you put on weight. I thought you were just depressed and eating a lot since Ryle left." She walks to the back of her closet and starts pulling things out for me. "I have so many maternity clothes to give you." We start going through clothes, and she pulls down a suitcase and opens it. She begins to throw things toward the suitcase until it starts to overflow. "I could never wear these," I tell her, holding up a shirt that still has the tag on it. "They're all designer. I'll get them dirty." She laughs and shoves them into the suitcase anyway. "I won't need them back. If I get pregnant again, I'll just have my people buy me more." She pulls a shirt off a hanger and hands it to me. "Here, try this one on." I take my shirt off and then pull the maternity shirt over my head. When I get it into place, I look in the mirror. I look pregnant. Like, you can't hide this shit pregnant. She puts a hand on my stomach and stares in the mirror with me. "Have you found out if it's a boy or a girl?" I shake my head. "I don't really want to know." "I hope it's a girl," she says. "Our daughters can be besties." "Lily?" We both spin around to find Marshall standing in the doorway. His eyes are on my stomach, on Elisa's hand still on my stomach. He tilts his head. He points at me. "You," he says, confused. "Lily, there's a... Do you realize you're pregnant?" Elisa calmly walks to the door and puts her hand on the doorknob. "There are some things that you are never, ever to repeat if you want to keep me as your wife. This is one of those things. Understood?" Marshall raises his eyebrows and takes a step back. "Yes. Okay. Got it. Lily is not pregnant." He kisses Elisa on the forehead and looks back at me. "I am not telling you congratulations, Lily, for... absolutely nothing." Elisa shoves him all the way out the door and closes it, then turns back to me. "We need to plan a baby shower," she says. "No, I need to tell Ryle first." She waves her hand dismissively. "We don't need him to plan a shower. We'll just keep it between the two of us until then." She pulls out her laptop, and for the first time since I found out I was pregnant, I feel happy about it. Chapter 30. It's rather convenient only having to take an elevator to get home from Elisa's, as much as I want to move out of my own apartment at times. It's still strange living there. We only lived there a week before we split up and Ryle left for England. It never even had the chance to feel like home, and now it feels a little tainted. I haven't even been able to sleep in our bedroom since that night, so I've been sleeping in the guest room on my old bed. Elisa and Marshall are still the only ones who know about the pregnancy. It's only been 2 weeks since I told them, which makes me 20 weeks along now. I know I should tell my mother, but Ryle will be back in a few weeks. I feel like I should tell him first before anyone else finds out. If I can just somehow hide my baby bump from her until he gets back to the States. I should probably just accept the fact that I'm more than likely going to have to call him and tell him long distance. I haven't seen my mother face to face in 2 weeks. It's the longest we've gone without seeing each other since she moved to Boston, so if something doesn't happen soon, she'll show up at my front door when I'm not prepared. I swear my stomach has doubled in size these last 2 weeks alone. If someone sees me who knows me well, it'll be impossible to hide. So far, no one at the floral shop has asked about it. I think I'm still on the cusp of, is she pregnant or just chubby? I start to unlock the door to my apartment, but it begins to open from the other side. Before I can pull the jacket over to hide my stomach from whoever is on the other side of the door, Ryle's eyes land on me. I'm wearing one of the shirts Elisa gave me, and it's kind of impossible to hide the fact that I'm wearing a maternity shirt when he's staring right at it. Ryle. Ryle is here. My heart begins to smash against the walls of my chest. My neck begins to itch, so I bring my hand up and rest it there, feeling the pounding of my heart against my palm. It's pounding because I'm terrified of him. It's pounding because I hate him. It's pounding because I've missed him. His eyes slowly crawl from my stomach to my face. A hurtful expression takes over him. He takes a step back into my apartment and his hands come up to his mouth. He begins to shake his head in confusion. I can see the betrayal all over his face when he barely forces out my name.
Lily?
I stand frozen, one hand on my stomach in protection, the other hand still flat against my chest. I'm too scared to move or say anything. I don't want to react until I know exactly how he's going to react. When he sees the fear in my eyes and the small gasps of breath I'm barely inhaling, he holds up a reassuring palm.
I'm not going to hurt you, Lily. I'm just here to talk to you.
He swings the door open wider and points into the living room.
Look.
He steps aside, and my eyes fall to someone standing behind him. Now I'm the one who feels betrayed.
Marshall?
Marshall immediately holds up his hands in defense.
I had no idea he was coming home early, Lily. Ryle texted and asked for my help. He specifically told me not to say anything to you or Issa. Please don't let her divorce me. I'm simply an innocent bystander.
I shake my head, trying to understand what I'm seeing.
I asked him to meet me here, so you'd feel more comfortable talking to me,
Ryle says.
He's here for you. He's not here for me.
I glance back at Marshall, and he nods. It gives me enough reassurance to enter the apartment. Ryle is still somewhat in shock, which is understandable. His eyes keep meeting my stomach and then flicking away like it hurts to look at me. He runs two hands through his hair and then points down the hallway while looking at Marshall.
We'll be in the bedroom. If you hear me get... if I start to yell...
Marshall knows what Ryle is asking him.
I'm not going anywhere.
As I follow Ryle into my bedroom, I wonder what that must be like. To have no idea what might set you off or how bad your reaction will be. To have absolutely no control over your own emotions. For a brief moment, I feel a minuscule amount of sorrow for him. But when my eyes fall to our bed and I remember that night, my sorrow diminishes completely. Ryle pushes the door shut but doesn't close it all the way. He looks like he's aged an entire year in the 2 months it's been since I've seen him. The bags under his eyes, the furrowed brow, the sunken posture. If regret took human form, it would look identical to Ryle. His eyes fall to my stomach again, and he takes a slow step forward. Then another. He's cautious, as he should be. He reaches out a timid hand, asking for permission to touch me. I nod softly. He takes one more step forward and then places a steady palm against my stomach. I can feel the warmth of his hand through my shirt, and my eyes snap shut. Despite the resentment I've built up in my heart toward him, It doesn't mean the emotions aren't still there. Just because someone hurts you doesn't mean you can simply stop loving them. It's not a person's actions that hurt the most. It's the love. If there was no love attached to the action, the pain would be a little easier to bear. He moves his hand over my stomach, and I open my eyes again. He's shaking his head, like he can't process what's happening right now. I watch as he slowly sinks to his knees in front of me. His arms snake around my waist, and he presses his lips against my stomach. He clasps his hands around my lower back and presses his forehead against me. It's hard to describe what I feel for him in this moment. Like any mother would want for her child, it's a beautiful thing to see the love he already has. It's been hard not sharing this with anyone. It's hard not being able to share this with him, no matter how much resentment I hold toward him. My hands go to his hair while he holds me against him. Part of me wants to scream at him and call the police like I should have done that night. Part of me feels for that little boy who held his brother in his arms and watched him die. Part of me wishes I would have never met him. Part of me wishes I could forgive him. He unwraps his arms from around my waist and presses a hand into the mattress next to us. He pulls himself up and then sits on the bed. His elbows rest on his knees and his hands are drawn up to his mouth. I sit next to him, knowing we have to have this conversation, but not wanting to. Naked truths? He nods. I don't know which one of us is supposed to go first. I don't really have much to say to him at this point, so I wait for him to speak first.
I don't even know where to start, Lily.
He rubs his hands down his face. How about you start with, I'm sorry I attacked you? His eyes meet mine, wide with certainty.
Lily, you have no idea. I am so sorry. You have no idea what I've been through these past 2 months, knowing what I've done to you.
I clench my teeth together. I can feel my fingers as they fist around the blanket beside me. I have no idea what he's been through. I shake my head slowly.
You have no idea, Ryle.
I stand up, the anger and hatred spilling out of me. I spin, pointing at him.
You have no idea. You have no idea what it's like to go through what you've put me through. To fear for your life at the hands of the man you love. To get physically sick. Just thinking about what he's done to you? You have no idea, Ryle. None. Fuck you. Fuck you for doing this to me.
I suck in a huge breath, shocked at myself. The anger just came like a wave. I swipe at my tears and spin around, unable to look at him.
Lily,
he says.
I don't know.
I yell, spinning around again. I am not finished. You don't get to say your truth until I've said mine. He's grabbing at his jaw, squeezing the stress out of it. He drops his eyes to the floor, unable to look at the rage in mine. I take 3 steps toward him and drop to my knees. I place my hands on his legs, forcing him to look me straight in the eyes while I speak to him. Yes. I kept the magnet Atlas gave me when we were kids. Yes, I kept the journals. No, I didn't tell you about my tattoo. Yes, I probably should have. And yes, I still love him. And I'll love him until I die, because he was a huge part of my life. And yes, I'm sure that hurts you. But none of that gave you the right to do what you did to me. Even if you would have walked into my bedroom and caught us in bed together, you still would not have the right to lay a hand on me, you goddamn son of a bitch. I push off his knees and stand up again. Now it's your turn, I yell. I continue pacing the room, My heart is pounding like it wants out. I wish I could give it a way out. I'd set the motherfucker free right now if I could. Several minutes pass as I continue to pace. Ryle's silence and my anger eventually just fold together into pain. My tears have exhausted me. I am so tired of feeling. I fall desperately onto my bed and cry into my pillow. I press my face so hard against my pillow I can barely breathe. I feel Ryle lie down next to me. He places a gentle hand on the back of my head, attempting to soothe away the pain he's causing me. My eyes are still closed, still pressed into the pillow, but I feel him gently rest his head against mine.
"My truth is that I have absolutely nothing to say," he says quietly. "I'll never be able to take back what I did to you, and you'll never believe me if I promise it won't happen again."
He presses a kiss against my head.
"You are my world, Lily. My world. When I woke up on this bed that night and you were gone, I knew I would never get you back. I came here to tell you how incredibly sorry I am. I came to tell you I was taking that job offer in Minnesota. I came to tell you goodbye. But Lily..."
His lips press against my head again and he exhales sharply.
"Lily, I can't do that now. You have a part of me inside of you, and I already love this baby more than I've ever loved anything in my whole life."
His voice cracks and he grips me even harder.
"Please don't take this away from me, Lily. Please."
The pain in his voice ripples through me, and when I lift my tear-soaked face to look at him, he presses his lips desperately to mine and then pulls back.
"Please, Lily, I love you. Help me."
His lips briefly meet mine again. When I don't push him away, his mouth comes back a third time. A fourth. When his lips meet mine the fifth time, they don't leave. He wraps his arms around me and pulls me to him. My body is tired and weak, but it remembers him. My body remembers how his body can soothe everything I'm feeling, how his has a gentleness in it that my body has been craving for 2 months now.
"I love you,"
he whispers against my mouth. His tongue sweeps softly against mine, and it's so wrong and so good and so painful. Before I know it, I'm on my back and he's crawling on top of me. His touch is everything I need and everything I shouldn't. His hand wraps in my hair, and in an instant I'm transferred back to that night. I'm in the kitchen and his hand is tugging my hair so hard it hurts. He brushes the hair from my face, and in an instant I'm transferred back to that night. I'm standing in the doorway, and his hand is trailing across my shoulder right before he bites into me with all the strength in his jaw. His forehead rests gently against mine, and in an instant, I'm transferred back to that night. I'm on the same bed beneath him when he slams his head against mine so hard I have to get 6 stitches. My body becomes unresponsive to his. The anger begins to roll back over me. His mouth stops moving against mine when he feels me freeze. When he pulls back and looks down on me, I don't even have to say anything. Our eyes, locked together, speak more naked truths than our mouths ever have. My eyes are telling his that I can no longer stand being touched by him. His eyes are telling mine that he already knows. He begins to nod slowly. He backs away from me, crawling down my body until he's at the edge of the bed with his back to me. He's still nodding as he comes to a slow stand, fully aware that he's not getting my forgiveness tonight. He begins heading toward my bedroom door. "Wait," I say to him, He half turns, looking back at me from the doorway. I lift my chin, looking at him with finality. I wish this baby wasn't yours, Ryle. With everything that I am, I wish this baby was not a part of you. If I thought his world couldn't crumble more, I was wrong. He walks out of my bedroom, and I press my face into my pillow. I thought if I could just hurt him like he had hurt me, I would feel avenged. I don't. Instead, I feel vindictive and mean. I feel like I'm my father. Chapter 31. Mom, I miss you. When am I going to see you? I stare at the text. It's been 2 days since Ryle found out I'm pregnant. I know it's time to tell my mother. I'm not nervous about telling her I'm pregnant. The only thing that scares me is discussing my situation with Ryle with her. Me. Miss you too. I'll come over tomorrow afternoon. Can you make lasagna? As soon as I close out the text to her, I get another incoming text. Alisa. Come upstairs and eat dinner with us tonight. It's homemade pizza night. I haven't been to Alisa's in a few days, since before Ryle came home. I'm not sure where he's staying, but I assume it's with them. The last thing I want right now is to have to be in the same apartment as him. Me. Who all will be there? Alisa. Lily. I wouldn't do that to you. He's working until 8 tomorrow morning. It'll just be the three of us. She knows me way too well. I text her back and tell her I'll come over as soon as I finish up with work. What do babies eat at this age? We're all seated around the table. Riley was asleep when I got here, but I woke her up so I could hold her. Alisa didn't mind. She said she doesn't want her wide awake when she's ready to go to bed.
Breast milk, Marshall says with a mouthful. But sometimes I stick my finger in my soda and put it in her mouth so she can taste it.
Marshall, Alisa yells. You better be kidding.
Totally kidding, he says, although I can't tell if he really is.
But when do they start eating baby food? I ask. I figure I need to learn this stuff before giving birth.
Around 4 months,
Alisa says with a yawn. She drops her fork and leans back in her chair, rubbing her eyes. You want me to keep her at my place tonight so you guys can get a full night of sleep? Alisa says, No, it's fine. At the same time, Marshall says, That would be awesome. I laugh. Really, I live right downstairs. I don't work tomorrow, so if I don't get any sleep tonight, I can just sleep in tomorrow. Alisa looks like she's contemplating it for a moment. I could leave my cell phone on in case you need me. I look back down at Riley and grin. Did you hear that? You get to have a sleepover with Aunt Lily. With everything Alisa is throwing in her diaper bag, it looks like I'm about to take Riley on a trip across the country. She'll let you know when she's hungry. Don't use the microwave to heat the milk. Just put it in. I know, I interrupt. I've made her like 50 bottles since she's been alive. Alisa nods and then walks over to her bed. She drops the diaper bag down beside me. Marshall is in the living room feeding Riley one last time, so Alisa lies down beside me on the bed while we wait. She props her head up on her hand. Do you know what this means? She asks. No, what? I get to have sex tonight. It's been 4 months. I crinkle up my nose. I didn't need to know that. She laughs and falls down on her pillow, but then sits straight up. Shit, she says. I should probably shave my legs. I think it's been 4 months since I did that, too. I laugh, but then I gasp. My hands move quickly to my stomach. Oh, my God. I just felt something.
Really?
Alisa puts her hand on my stomach, and we're both quiet for the next 5 minutes as we wait for it to happen again. It does, but it's so soft it's almost unnoticeable. I laugh again as soon as it happens.
I didn't feel anything, Elisa says, pouting. I guess it'll be a few more weeks before you can feel it from the outside, though.
Is this the first time you felt it move?
Yeah. I've been scared I was growing the laziest baby in history. I keep my hands on my stomach, hoping to feel it again. We sit quietly for a few more minutes, and I can't help but wish my circumstances were different. Ryle should be here. He should be the one sitting beside me with his hand on my stomach. Not Elisa. The thought almost takes away all the joy I'm feeling. Elisa must notice because she puts one of her hands on mine and squeezes. When I look at her, she isn't smiling anymore. Lily, she says, I've been wanting to say something to you. Oh, God, I don't like the sound of her voice. What is it? She sighs and then forces a gloomy smile. I know you're sad that you're going through this without my brother. No matter how involved he is, I just want you to know that this is going to be the best thing you've ever experienced in your life. You're going to be a great mom, Lily. This baby is really lucky. I'm glad Elisa is the only one in here right now because her words make me laugh, cry, and snot like a hormonal teenager. I hug her and tell her thank you. It's amazing how hearing those words gives me back the joy I was feeling. She smiles and then says, Now go get my baby and take her away from here so I can have some sex with my filthy rich husband. I roll off the bed and stand up. You sure know how to bring levity into a situation. I'd say it's your strong point. She smiles. That's what I'm here for. Now go away.
Chapter 32. Of all the secrets I've held over the last few months, I'm the saddest about keeping everything from my mother. I don't know how she'll take it. I know she'll be excited about the pregnancy, but I don't know how she'll feel about me and Ryle splitting up. She loves Ryle, and based on her history with these types of situations, she'll probably find it very easy to excuse his behavior and try and convince me to take him back. And in all honesty, that's part of the reason I've been stalling this, because I'm scared there's a chance she might be successful. Most days I'm strong. Most days I'm so mad at him that the thought of ever forgiving him is ludicrous. But some days I miss him so much I can't breathe. I miss the fun I had with him. I miss making love to him. I miss missing him. He used to work so many hours that when he would walk in the front door at night, I would rush across the room and jump in his arms because I missed him so much. I even miss how much he loved it when I would do that. It's the not-so-strong days when I wish my mother knew about everything that was going on. I sometimes just want to drive over to her house and curl up on the couch with her while she tucks my hair behind my ear and tells me it'll all be okay. Sometimes even grown women need their mother's comfort, so we can just take a break from having to be strong all the time. I sit in my car, parked in her driveway, for a good 5 minutes before I work up the strength to go inside. It sucks that I have to do this because I know that in a way I'll be breaking her heart too. I hate it when she's sad, and telling her I married a man who might be like my father is going to make her really sad. When I walk through the front door, she's in the kitchen layering noodles in a pan. I don't remove my coat right away for obvious reasons. I'm not wearing a maternity shirt, but my bump is almost impossible to hide without a jacket, especially from a mother. Hey, sweetie, she says. I walk into the kitchen and give her a side hug while she layers cheese over the top of the lasagna. Once the lasagna is in the oven, we walk over to the dining room table and take a seat. She leans back in her chair and takes a sip from a glass of tea. She's smiling. I hate it even more that she looks so happy right now. Lily, she says. There's something I need to tell you.
I don't like this. I was coming over here to talk to her. I'm not prepared to receive a talk.
What is it? I ask hesitantly. She grips her glass of tea with both hands.
I'm seeing someone.
My mouth drops open.
Really?
I ask, shaking my head. I'm about to say good, but then I grow instantly worried that she's just put herself in a similar situation she was in with my father. She can see the worry on my face, so she grabs my hands in both of hers.
He's good, Lily. He's so good. I promise.
Relief washes over me in an instant, because I can see she's telling the truth. I can see the happiness in her eyes.
Wow, I say, not expecting this at all. I'm happy for you. When can I meet him?
Tonight, if you want, she says. I can invite him over to eat with us.
I shake my head. No, I whisper. Now's not a good time.
Her hands squeeze around mine as soon as she realizes I'm here to tell her something important. I start with the better part of the news first. I stand up and remove my jacket. At first, she doesn't think anything of it. She just assumes I'm making myself comfortable. But then I take one of her hands and I press it against my stomach.
You're gonna be a grandma.
Her eyes widen, and for several seconds she's stunned, speechless. But then tears begin to form. She jumps up and pulls me into a hug.
Lily, she says. Oh, my God.
She pulls back, smiling.
That was so fast. Were you trying? You haven't even been married for very long.
I shake my head. No, it was a shock. Believe me. She laughs, and after another hug, we both sit down again. I try to keep up my smile, but it's not the smile of an elated, expectant mother. She sees that almost immediately. She slides a hand over her mouth.
Sweetie, she whispers. What's the matter?
Until this moment, I fought to remain strong. I've fought to not feel too sorry for myself when I'm around other people. But sitting here with my mother, I crave weakness. I just want to be able to give up for a little while. I want her to take over and hug me and tell me it'll all be okay. And for the next 15 minutes, while I cry in her arms, that's exactly what happens. I just stop fighting for myself because I need someone else to do it for me. I spare her most of the details of our relationship, but I do tell her the most important things. That he's hurt me on more than one occasion and I don't know what to do. That I'm scared to have this baby alone. That I'm scared I might make the wrong decision. That I'm scared I'm being too weak and that I should have him arrested. That I'm scared I'm being too sensitive and I don't know if I'm overreacting. Basically, I tell her everything I haven't even been brave enough to fully admit to myself. She retrieves some napkins out of the kitchen and comes back to the table. After our eyes are finally dry, she begins to crumple the napkin up between her hands, rolling it over in circles as she stares down at it.
Do you want to take him back?
She asks. I don't say yes, but I also don't say no. This is the first moment since this has happened that I'm being completely honest. I'm honest to her and to myself. Maybe because she's the only one I know who has been through this. She's the only one I know who would understand the massive amounts of confusion I've been experiencing. I shake my head, but I also shrug. Most of me feels like I'll never be able to trust him again. But a huge part of me grieves what I had with him. We were so good together, Mom. The times I spent with him were some of the best moments of my life.
and occasionally I feel like maybe I don't want to give that up. I wipe the napkin beneath my eyes, soaking up more tears.